Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. The last couple of videos we've been speaking about the cocktails, as I call them, but I have gotten bolder on this channel and I just calls it like I sees it. And I have been talking about the dangers of these needles for newborns. So your comments are so insightful. And I wanted to share some of them that came up in my last video. Then I want to share with you this very important information that you can get from a website called Physicians for Informed Consent. Now, you may have seen a video I did previously. I don't really care for the phrase informed consent, but I really like the work that they're doing. So we'll just leave that aside for right now. And I want to share with you this information that you can share with other parents, especially those who are concerned about what the hospitals are doing to their newborns. So before I do that, I just want to read a couple of your comments from my last video because they were so insightful. And I really love our Healthy American community here. It's great that you hop on at 4 p.m. Pacific to be a part of the Healthy American family, where you are so supportive and sophisticated and smart and snarky, just as I like it. So, there is a comment here from someone, Denise. Apparently she was a nurse, and she said, "This information makes my blood boil. Before I woke up, I gave thousands upon thousands of these thinking I was helping." Isn't that just so sad? And it's great that she's awake now and no longer participating. Black Dog said, "I fought my wife's OBGYN over that shot, for the hepatitis B and vitamin K, when they tried to give it to my son in 1999. Disgusting." And then I love this one from Swamp Lover, who writes, "How did mankind ever survive before the time of smackzines, and that all of a sudden we need all of these shots as babies to be able to survive to be adults? I mean, think about it. How did mankind even continue if these infants in years gone by did not get these shots?" So, anyway, there's so many great comments from you. Chris says, "Look at how healthy the Amish children are, and they get zero injections, and they don't suffer the same childhood rare cancers and rare neurological disorders like," I'll just say, "the pin-cushioned children." Pamela, oh my gosh, this is so heart-wrenching. She says that, "My daughter was born 6 weeks premature. She was 7 pounds, 5 ounces. She turned jaundice after the vitamin K shot 22 years ago." And then Elizabeth has a really important comment where she says, "This is great info, but there's an issue with the allopathic medicine and the legal system. And it views parents who refuse these injections as a danger to their child, and the parents are vulnerable to a CPS investigation." I really appreciate your comment, Elizabeth. Let me know any parents that have gone through this, and how did you handle it at the hospital or with your doctor? There are parents that are creating their birth plans, and they are having these discussions prior to going to the hospital, because then they are doing it in a rational, calm, sober-minded way, and not when it is under a lot of stress. And then someone else, here's another one. Green is the New Black says, "Well, baby checkups are also some hogwashing, and they're designed to enroll all babies into the medical industrial complex." When I was growing up, there was no such thing as a well baby checkup. And the same thing for our animals. We never took our animals to the vet unless there was an emergency. And I never went to the doctor as a child. I don't even really remember it, although I did have a mom who was a nurse. So she didn't really believe in going to doctors and all of that. Thank goodness she was an ER nurse. So she was in trauma care. She did not care for the medical profession by and large. I'll just put it that way. And I know many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I also have a wonderful young friend who is a mother, and she gave birth at home to a lovely little girl, and they went out to dinner afterwards. It was amazing. And I've met her children, and they are healthy. They are thriving. They are just the the picture of vibrancy. So I'm not here to give any medical advice, but I know that more and more young parents are considering the home births as an alternative so that they're not on the radar of these medical systems. As an aside, many of you are telling me the same thing with your veterinarians, that you're not like establishing a relationship with a vet. And if you have an emergency issue with your animal, you'll take them to the emergency vet, so that you're not pressured for all of these cocktails on your animal. And just as an aside, since we're talking about the injections, I have done a lot of videos about rabies and the over-injecting of animals. I have a playlist on this channel about rabies, so I hope that you'll watch that. Also, information on my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. But a quick little sidetrack here about rabies. Someone wrote to me and said, Peggy, they wouldn't even see my animal to do a procedure unless he got the rabies vaccine. And then when I asked how long it took for the rabies vaccine to be effective, the vet told me 2 weeks. So where is the logic of being denied your animal, being denied care for your animal, but they would inject the animal and then take care of it right there on the spot, not have you come back 2 weeks later? It doesn't make sense. You've got to challenge them on this. All right, here's what I want to do. We are going to go over to the physicians for informed consent. And I want to share with you this incredible information that you can use and share with others. So here we go. Let me share my screen. And we are going to hop on over. It is physiciansforinformedconsent.org. I will have a link for you at my Substack. I really don't like to put too many links in my description box because YouTube will give strikes to videos if they don't like the website that you're linking to. So you'll get that at my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. This information is incredible and it is absolutely free. And we are going to click on this that says considering a vaccine and want to learn more, you click here and it will give you all of the information. And we're going to click here. They've got all of these different things. And we're going to click on the hepatitis B because the name of this video is the hepatitis B vaccine safer than hepatitis B. Well, let's take a look at what hepatitis B is. First of all, I've been talking about this in my previous videos. This summarizes it very cleanly. And it says hepatitis B is a viral infection. Infants and children usually don't experience any symptoms of hepatitis B. And about 50% of adults don't experience any symptoms. I find that very curious as well, because God gave us symptoms to help us know whether or not we have disease or illness. But what the symptoms are loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, fever, headache, stomach ache, muscle pain, or joint pain. Sounds like a cold or a flu to me. And then this phase can be followed by about 1 to 3 weeks of jaundice and tenderness of the liver. About 85% of new hepatitis infections are benign and are not reported to public health departments. Most, this is very important, most fatal cases of hepatitis B occur later in life, usually after the age of 55, in situations when chronic infections leads to liver cirrhosis or liver cancer. That's what hepatitis B is. That's the risk. And how is it transmitted? It's transmitted through the mixing of bodily fluids with those of an infected individual, usually involving infected blood. In the United States, the most common routes of transmission are sexual contact among heterosexuals with multiple partners, or men who have sex with men, and injection drug use. I ask you again, how is a newborn baby at risk for getting hepatitis B? It completely defies logic. The virus can be transmitted by being born to an infected mother. I spoke about that in my previous video. Why not just test the mother? And besides, getting injected is not a cure for this disease. So if they're injecting every single baby just to be sure, it doesn't cure them anyway. And it is usually not fatal. So we'll take a look. That's what the disease is. Now we're going to take a look at the risks of the vaccine, and you can draw your own conclusion. I want to finish by saying Hep B is not transmitted by breastfeeding, kissing, hugging, holding hands, coughing, sneezing, or sharing dishes, eating utensils, or drinking glasses. So parents don't have to worry about their child getting infected unless they're having these other risks, which are atrocious. And certainly doesn't even apply to newborns. All right. Prior to 1991, before the widespread use of the Hep B vaccine began, it was a disease of low incidence. New hepatitis B infections occurred in about 1 in 1,700. Now, wait until I show you this data coming up. So despite widespread use of the Hep B vaccine for more than 25 years, the prevalence of this has remained the same since about 1976. The great majority of the infections occur in people who engage in high-risk sexual behavior or intravenous drug use. Zero risk to a newborn. Living with an infected individual, there might be a small risk there. Live in communities where Hep B infection is unusually prevalent, and that's usually not in normal households. It says that it is higher in communities where they have immigrants. All right. Before widespread use of the Hep B vaccine, annually, less than 1 in 7 million children at normal risk of exposure contracted chronic hepatitis B that led to fatal liver cirrhosis or cancer later in life. So that is what that is. I will leave this for you. What I want to share with you now is there information about the vaccine itself. And the question is it safer than the disease? The disease. Yes. Let's talk about this. Common side effects of the vaccine include fever, diarrhea, fatigue, and weakness. A more serious potential side effect is seizure, which may occur in about 1 in 1,300 children. Those are pretty bad numbers there. I wouldn't want to have my child be the one in that 1,300. Although severe side effects have been observed, including neurological disorders such as encephalitis, transverse myelitis, optic neuritis, multiple sclerosis, Guillain-Barré, which is the temporary, hopefully it's temporary, paralysis, and autoimmune diseases. How many people do you know have all the autoimmune diseases? Who knows where it came from? Could it have come from these shots? The Institute of Medicine says that the evidence is inadequate to accept or reject a causal relationship between the vaccine and those conditions. For children, the vaccine contains 250 micrograms of aluminum. I think that's the correct, I said it correctly. The amount is 75 times greater than the maximum safe level of aluminum in the bloodstream per day for a 7.3 pound infant. So methods to measure the risks include the surveillance systems, clinical trials, epidemiological studies. You know that I'm not in favor of any clinical trials because I don't think children should be tested on, period. I don't believe that God made a mistake. And why should let's say that there are some children that are at risk. Why should everybody be penalized for the one out of 7 million? Why should every child be put at risk because of that? That's my real beef, is this sort of common good mentality. No, I reject that. And then the VAERS reports, you can look that up if you want to. That is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And it says 114 cases of permanent injury and death from the Hep B vaccine are reported annually. And we know that it's a passive reporting system and that by and large does not include all of the numbers of injuries. But even that, would you put your child at risk for that when their risk of contracting the fatal disease is 1 in 7 million? And we don't even know if this actually works. So it goes on to talk about the clinical trials, which I am not in favor of. And now their final conclusion states, it has not been proven that the Hep B vaccine is safer than the hepatitis B for children at normal risk of exposure. The vaccine package insert raises questions about safety testing, and it goes on and on. The reason I wanted to share this with you is not to read it line by line, but to show you where you could get this information and share it with new parents or expectant moms here. So here's the education, and you can find out all of their details on all of these illnesses and vaccines. I will have a link for you in my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. I'm so glad that we're having these conversations. As you know, I'm not one that picks apart every ingredient in these shots. I am more concerned about your right to say no, and you have a right of no consent. The comment I took to heart about parents being told that they would be at risk for the Child Protective Services to come and take their children away. I think that it's highly unlikely if the child is well fed and well cared for and simply is not injected that those are grounds for your child to be taken away. And at least in the state of California, the courts are very much skewed to the rights of the parents and the children always being returned to the parents. So that's the comment that I have on that. Or if you are going to be considering a home birth so that you're not going to be exposed to any of these things at the hospital. So more and more women are choosing that. It seems to me there's a lot out on social media. There's a lot of information about making those decisions. So if you know of a young woman, a young expectant mom, please share this information with her and her family. Thank you everybody for being on board. I really appreciate having you here. A big shout out to the moderators that keep our stream flowing. And I have the best audience on YouTube. It is truly a pleasure for our get-togethers daily at 4 p.m. Pacific. I look forward to seeing you in tomorrow's broadcast. And stay tuned because Friday, I have some happy news to share with you, and I'll see you then.